ever glad to be back. Am I ever glad to be back? This is Luca Mino. We are back with Learn to Unlearn. And I'm just going to let it play just so I can hear it again. That's right. Well, you know what? I love the strings at the end. We're going to be doing some music a little today. Here comes the end. Here comes the orchestra. There we go. And why is Luca making a big deal about music? Well, he's making a big deal about music because it has become part of my life again, and because I can sit in a chair for about 2 hours now without moving or just being comfortable, and it's a blessing. Everything turns out to be a blessing except the weather. Steve is our producer today as usual. Hello, Steve. How you doing?
Hello, Luca. Hi, everyone. I'm tired. I'm tired today just like normal, but I'm here.
Well, I don't know if being tired has to do with the weather, because my grandmother used to have her joints and her legs and her arms like hurt when storms were coming, but I've been feeling really like damped, I guess. There's really a kind of a big weather system that has it's rain and then freezing rain and then a line of snow. So we're right between. We're getting the freezing rain. Oh, we're going to rain. And then freezing rain. Then up, oh, freezing rain. Then rain. Nope, we're getting snow later on because it's going to get colder. Wow. So we're in the freezing rain now. And you know what that looks like with the branches with, like, you know, a good half inch on them. So we're lucky to have power. And I'm thanking God for that too, capital G. And we would have had a plan B if we didn't. But it could just go pow, and the lights would just go out, and that would be it. That's how it always is, right? And it just feels really somber when that happens. So there's been quite a week. First things first, because we are here for Annie, and because we are supporting Annie as the as the owner of the network. It's kind of important to say that this is the 7 year mark that that Rick has left us all, and that's how I wanted to start the show. In particular, I wanted to offer the show and dedicate the show to Rick's memory, legacy. I love how she says that, and he calls it a legacy. I think it's cool. So does Boston Mark. I've heard that already. Because, you know, she writes on Facebook, another year without you and another year missing you, your love and what we had. No words can describe what I'm feeling in my heart right now. I loved you then. I love you now. And again, we meet again. I am forever yours. Okay. And the reason why I'm saying that is A, to honor her, and B, to honor him. But not more importantly, but just as importantly, I'd like to honor my own feelings of how I feel. You know how I always say, and it's bold, but you know me, you all know me, so you'll forgive me, I'm sure. But I don't know what's worse, losing somebody. You know, it's like a death, yeah, but they're alive and well, but they won't talk to you anymore. They will not talk to you, and they disowned you. So what? I'm not sure what's worse, knowing that they're there and they will not talk. There's absolutely no way, or having someone, you know, pass on. And I often think of that. But when I read what Annie wrote on her page, I said to myself, you know, that's kind of, you know, Annie feels about, you know, January 21st, kind of like I feel about the holidays. Yeah, because the holidays are the hardest for me, you know, and it's like Annie was just saying earlier, you know, I got over it, you know, I did it, you know, we got through it. Yeah, we got through it because we're tough. and we're, you know, we're strong. And I'm also wanting to say that, you know, once again, and that we are behind Annie, you know, and we are behind the network. And, you know, God help me, if I start making money, guess what? You know, we're all going to party together, you know. Today, I wanted to talk a lot about personal turmoil related to my jobs and stuff. I wanted to talk about comparisons, and I have an amazing clip that I'm going to talk to you about that I'm going to play. We're going to go see Israel again, and we're going to further our understanding, further our understanding of Jewry and Zionism, And I have something on King Faisal of Saudi Arabia, not King Fahd. King Faisal, who was assassinated in 1978. What he says about Zionism, very interesting stuff. And then some other bombs I'm going to drop. Wow. You know, so where do we start? Well, let's start by saying hello to everybody in the chat as well. Melissa and Boston Mark and Sarah and everybody that are there, everybody listening that are either doing something and can't, you know, listen or watch it or in the chat, but everywhere around the world, hopefully, if we can, if we can be so bold to say that, that would be fun. I also wanted to do an offering to the people that are hurting because, you know, we're empaths, you know, we think about each other. We care about each other. And there's this incredible picture. I've got to put it where Steve can see it. It's a person, doesn't matter if it's male or female, a person on the bank of a river. And she's got both her hands in her face. And she's kneeling down. She's crouching down. And she's got her hands on her face in grief. And her image in the water is the person that she's grieving for, or that the person is grieving for. And I thought that was,
it's a dog though, isn't it?
It's a guy, or in this case, it's a guy with the dog. Yeah. Maybe okay. It was her husband with the dog. You know what I mean? Maybe it
is
was
that a
friend.
No, that's the same woman kneeling as the one standing though, isn't it?
No. I see that as grief. No, that's a man in the reflection as far as I can see.
Well, that's a man kneeling too, though.
That's how I saw it as a grief, a picture of definite grief and just not being able to go on. That's how I saw it. That's interesting. You see it differently.
Well,
cool.
The reflection in the water, it's a man, a bald man, right?
That's what it looked like, but see,
the guy kneeling is also bald.
Kind of erasing the man image or the woman man image idea. I'm kind of going, I see somebody in grief almost on her hands and knees by the riverbank, and somebody standing in the water as a reflection. So I'm assuming that that's what that is. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, you know, we'll send it to Annie and maybe Annie can put it in the chat sometime. That's one big one because, you know, that's how I am pretty much. I fall apart like at Christmas time and, you know, it was by myself, you know, and it's a lesson. You have to be by yourself. You have to be strong by yourself. And what's that one I love sharing so much? You know, be scared, you know, because we're scared about life. We're insecure about life. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The best of us are really, really having a hard time with inner turmoil right now. You know, you be scared, right? But do it anyway. You know, be underqualified. Get in the room anyway. I've said it before, but I wish I could say that as part of my disclaimer every week because that's how I am. I'm approaching everything from a really vulnerable point. You know, be messy, be imperfect, be unsure, but show up anyway. You know, comfort is the enemy of growth. Even if you know that you're the most unqualified person in there and you shouldn't even be there. Who says? Huh? Ask yourself. According to who? Ask yourself. According to who under according to which law? I'm sorry, who invented this law that I'm supposed to be thinking that I'm inferior? You know, it's ridiculous when you think of it. And we're so under the illusion of all this authority around us, over us, on top of us, below us, you know, making us feel this, making us. I don't think so. Excuse me. So I wanted to revisit a lot of that. I have a beautiful music segment, and I'm also dedicating that to Rick, because if I was alive around the time that Rick was around, you know, like that would have been what my music would have been meant for. That would have been like a reason for being in my life as far as music goes. If we would have met, and you know, Annie and I keep saying that, imagine that if, you know, both of you would have known each other, like, wow. Because, you know, I mean, I can play bass. I do drums for like 60 years because I'm 65. I started when I was 5. My brother was 6. That's right. Yeah. You know, so, wow. Isn't there a woman in the music industry? I think she does all her tracks, just like Prince did. He did all his own tracks. Anyway, so we really have to shed our fear of, you know, not fitting in, and really, you know, I wanted to talk about Martin Luther King Day that just, you know, passed as well. And I'm not really sure where to start. Let's see. Well, why don't we start with my images, because they're really important. Today marks the 131 years of the illegal occupation, American occupation of the Kingdom of Hawaii, January 17th. 131 years, you know, just saying, right? Because we are not going to stop talking about Hawaii. I'm sorry. See, this is the thing. They think you're going to stop talking about it, right? Oh, you're going to forget it, you know? And even Klaus Schwab says it himself, you know, the vaccines will go down the memory hole. That's what he says. And, you know, people forget it, you know, and you know, they won't even make the connection. There's a road, and we don't know where it is. And the signs on the side of the road in the wintertime, okay, in almost blizzard conditions. And I'm going to read to you what there are, like 1, 2, 3, 4 signs, one on top of the other. You have the 25 mile an hour speed limit, right? And on top of that, you have brains required. Then you have the 25, you know, mile an hour speed limit. Then underneath it, it says autos and pickups, snow tires, okay, and carry brains. And under that, it says drivers ignoring winter conditions may be subject to natural selection. And that's exactly what it is. Welcome to Canada. Been there, done that. Drivers ignoring winter conditions may be subject to natural selection. I love that one. I thought that was priceless. Okay, so here we go. We're going to, you know, we said this before, but I got to say it again because it's so relevant. Okay, Taylor Swift, sorry, she's concerned about climate change. Okay, her private jet emits more carbon in a single trip than your car does in its entire lifetime. And her jet flew more than 200 times last year. Okay, people are starting to get the idea, right? Nothing against her. We're just talking about observations. This is what's so much fun about my show. We can go anywhere, you know, but, oh, it's your car that's causing climate change. Oh, okay. Same as Greta. Find out what Greta Thunberg is. Net worth. Let's see. How many cars does she have? 9 of them. House properties, 6. Monthly spending, $100,000 or more, you know. There's a really, really good joke. I gotta say this. This is, you know, this is the kind of joke that I think Rick would have loved. Listen to this one. Justin looked at Sophie in Canada and chuckled. You know, I could throw out $1,000 bill right now, right out of the window, and make somebody very happy. And Sophie, the first lady, looks at him and shrugs her shoulders and says, well, I could throw 10 $100 bills out the window and make 10 people very happy. And hearing the exchange, right, the pilot of the plane kind of tells the co-pilot, very quietly. He says, such big shots back there. He says, you know, I could throw them both out of the plane right now and make 38 million people very happy right now. And it says, if you're one of those 38 million, please pass it on. So, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. The Welsbach seeding. Did you know about that, Steve? Have you heard of that? The Welsbach?
See, no.
Actually, it's Welsbach, if you want to say it properly in German.
No, what does that mean?
Welsbach seeding is a patented climate engineering method involving seeding the stratosphere with very small metal oxide particles, thorium dioxide, aluminum oxide, stratospheric aerosol injection. You know, it's like, there goes another rabbit hole. Oh, baby, there goes another rabbit hole. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, so they're patenting all this, just like they did COVID from 2002, I think it was, that Dr. David Martin was talking about. Okay, we flipped the chapter. Let's go see a baseball game or a football game. I'm sorry, whatever it is. Anyway, in this game between two public colleges, one head coach makes $8 million and the other makes $11 million last year. And the stealth bomber flying over their game cost $737 million to build and $7 million to operate every year. College sports, it says, in a country that can't afford to make college free. See, this is what's so cool. Because Luca knows that college was free, that education was free, that electricity was free, under Gaddafi. Oh, you mean the one that Hillary was saying, you know, we came, we saw, he died. Ha, 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 ha. Right? Yeah, first thing they hit was his aqueduct. What was it? His pipeline, the water pipeline. Yeah, it's the first thing they hit. Or was that Assad? You know? Or was that Assad? You know, like they can't remember. You know what? I'm going to play that clip right now because I just fell on it without even realizing what I just said. Okay, we got Bush. That's a little confused, and I'm sorry about the loudness. I'm not sure how loud it's going to be, okay? What I just said, like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, whatever country we're bombing, well, you know, we just can't keep track, right? Well, listen to this.
In Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine, Mr. Bush made a verbal blunder.
The decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Correct. Anyway.
Huh? He made a mistake and said Iraq. I mean, the Ukraine. He said Iraq, Ukraine, and Ukraine. Anyway. You know? I wonder if I can play that again at the right spot.
And brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Correct. Anyway.
Say Iraq, too. Anyway, or something, you know? It's up to you to think whatever you want of it, okay? This, you know, they're dropping their drawers all over the place. They're telling us who they are. They're telling us how they operate. Steve and I were just talking about that before the show started, how if you're quick and if you're really, really, what's the word? You know, if you're agile or if you're waiting for it. Oh, bang, there you go. You know, what's a $737 million plane? It costs $7 million to operate, and it's just they have it flying over. You know, like they have the jet fighters flying over. Good grief. Oh, yeah, and let's not talk about the July 4th celebrations, right? Huh. It goes on and on and on. Okay, I'm going to say it because Steve and I were laughing about it in the beginning of the show. There's a town. Oh, actually, it might not be true because, you know, the welcome sign has two C's. I just realized that now, Steve. Welcome to. It's called Pecker's Corner or Pecker's Cutoff. Pecker's Cutoff. And it says population 2. And I just realized, I just looked at it again and W-E-L-C-C-O-M-E. It might be Photoshopped. But anyway, I thought that was cute. Pecker's Cutoff. That's adorable. If you look at northern Newfoundland, what used to be Newfoundland, okay, and Labrador, they had names like that. And I wasn't bright enough to get the names, but there are so many of them like that. you know. Anyway, I won't try and go there because I don't want a swear word to slip out because it's so funny. Like in Quebec, that's what, late 1800s, early 1900s, they started doing that. The silent revolution against the church was about the farmers and all of the civil servants or whatever, using every single article of the church that they could think of as swear words. So every swear word in French from that area and that era is actually a sacred object in the church. It's absolutely hilarious. I fell on my face the first time I heard one of them. Okay. I think I told you guys about them on the show one time. Anyway, here's, okay, now this is K Zog, Z-O-G. See, in Canada, we say Z-O-G. The crazy part about these times is that people are more loyal to the ones that are trying to control and kill them than they are to the people trying to save them and trying to lead them to the truth. Why is it that some of us can see what's going on in the world and others can't? Okay. Here goes Luca again. Okay, this was, I don't remember what day this was, but apparently that day it was National Human Trafficking Awareness Day, says the Exodus Road, okay, that came out with that. Okay, so I put a picture with that, and I'm naughty, right? I think I got a week jail time on Facebook for that. So that day, I'm not sure what it was. It was either the day before yesterday or around there. Anyway, National Human Trafficking Awareness Day. You heard properly, okay? So there's a picture that I have of Richard Nixon and his buddy, the Reverend Billy Graham. And I know what's going to come into the chat, so let me say it quickly. I'm confident, and this is a quote, I'm confident President Richard Nixon and his good buddy, the Reverend Billy Graham, were named in the Watergate pedophile records because I was sex trafficked to both men as a child. That was Fiona Barnett. Okay. And I did tell everybody about Kathy O'Brien, right? Okay. Let's do her first because this is like an honor to say this stuff, because it's not like if it is true, sadly it is. And it's been more ignored than anything else. And, you know, Luca, how can you go on the air and make claims like that? You know, were you there? And it's like, was I there? I've known so many different situations where, you know, just like we started the show with, you know, how evil they are. I think everybody listening could be the first people to tell me how evil they are. And it's unimaginable. It's unfathomable. What lengths they will go to. Jeez, even Churchill said it. And I read it last time, if not that, either the week before that. How Churchill said, there is no level of violence that we will not go to. There isn't. You wanted to gas them all, you know. Create some kind of asphyxiating gas. Anyway, so with Kathy O'Brien, and you know what? You know what tells me that this is true also is because it's not there anymore. I can try to find it, but I won't be able to on YouTube. It just disappeared. That description under that video of that face of hers is no longer there. O'Brien claims to have been abused since she was a toddler by her own family. And by the way, no, should I give that that statistic? Steve, I don't know if you've heard that, but I've heard a statistic whereby, let's say there's 150 different families in a well-to-do section of town. Let's say there's 150 families. It said that up to 20 of those practice Satanism on a regular basis in their family, in private. Okay, it's about how many people are practicing Satanism and what's really going on that we don't know about. Well, this will give you a good idea. Unbelievable. Okay, so, you know, most people do not want to talk about it, and they won't. They'll close the door right in your face, okay? Yes, Fritz Springmeier talks about her. Okay. Oh, hello, Moon. Wow. Forced to partake in satanic and sadomasochistic child pornography movies produced for Gerald Ford. She was eventually sold to the CIA, which was looking for traumatized children for their mind control program, MKUltra, etc. There are many more now. U.S. presidents Ford, Reagan, Bush, and Bill Clinton. Canadian prime ministers Pierre Trudeau. Geez, we were talking about that last name just recently, weren't we? Or one of those. And Brian Mulroney. Mexican President Miguel de la Madrid, Haitian dictator Baby Doc Duvalier, Panamanian President Manuel Noriega, and King Fahd of Saudi Arabia all sexually abused her, brutalized her, okay? And she recounts in graphic detail how elder George Bush raped her 13-year-old daughter and how she was forced to have oral sex with Illuminati Hillary Clinton. While being sodomized, whipped, bound, and raped, O'Brien overheard the globalist elite planning a military coup in the United States and conspiring to usher in a satanic New World Order. Okay, that's the quote. So you take all those little hints in that quote that I just said. Just the quote. They're just a little, you know, bleep. Oh, you know, those little flags that go up. Military coup. Satanic. New World Order, sexually brutalized. Hillary Clinton, good grief. We could do an hour show on just her, okay? You know, you're finding all this stuff out, but who do you tell? See, there's my what do you call it? My favorite phrase, you know? Your hard work will indeed lead you to the truth. That's your blessing. But guess what your curse is? You can't tell anybody because they won't believe you. They're not going to believe you if you start talking what we're talking about. It's amazing. Then you get this 12-year-old girl from California that did her homework and found out that all U.S. presidents are related except for one. Okay? You know, like, they don't want you thinking. This is what Rockefeller said. No, we don't want thinkers. We want workers. Okay? No. Dumb them down. That's what that fluoride's for and so much more, as we know, right? Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. So where are you, MLK? I just want to say this because it's kind of important. That would be up here somewhere. Okay, so we know that MLK, Martin Luther King, plagiarized a lot of his speeches. It's been proven. I'm looking for the quote, but I can't find it. Of course, it's always like that because, you know, once you're looking for stuff, you can't find it, but that's okay. And, you know, plus he was, there's a whole lot of evidence, a whole lot of proof. He was going out with a waitress on the side. At the same time as being married, and couldn't talk about that, you know, couldn't make that public because that wouldn't look good because she wasn't in his social class. Okay, same as all those people. You know, it's almost like they have to have something on you, or you're just not going to be one of them. It's almost like they have to have something to get, you know, on top of you or for blackmail or something. It seems like that's what they're all about. Just amazing. So I had him to talk about today as well. And Fiona Barnett, we talked about her. Comparisons. Okay, so after the break, we will be going to a really – this took a lot of work too, and I don't mind saying it. But I'm very, very happy to announce – well, I'll announce it when we come back. I'll make you sweat until we come back. But it took a lot of work, and I did this. It was like, what, two and a half, 3 hours? Because I love doing stuff by heart. I love writing stuff down now because I like – because you people are encouraging me, I love reading. So now it's like I'm reading my own stuff. So I'm getting good at reading. It's awesome. So this came out and I had to write it out, and we're going to do comparisons when we come back. What did I call that? Comparisons and something else. Anyway, there's Luca. You know, I don't want to be structured, as I always say. So he's going to go start talking German. So we got to go take a break, Luca. Drink something. Just get him away from the mic.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around, and be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Gee, Steve, I didn't even have time to mute. Is it already halfway gone? Are we already halfway?
Yeah. Well,
what's
I mean,
what's going on? I'm having so much fun. I can't believe it's already halfway. Jeez. Okay. Well, you know what?
At least you're not nervous, right?
I'm sorry?
That's at least you're not nervous, right?
Not nervous. My hands are freezing. My hands are cold. always nervous, but it's because you're doing your best. You're trying to, okay? And I have a music segment, so I got to get going here. We're talking about comparisons, okay, and reflections. I want to put a little bit of music behind that. Can I do that? Where is that? Where is that? Oh, I don't have it on. Of course. No. All right. That's okay. Okay. So reflections, Lara calls them. Lara El Borno. And Steve, I'm not sure if you did give me this, and I'm thanking you again if you did, because you probably did. No, actually, I think I found that on my own. I think I did. Lara, L-A-R-A, El Borno, Palestinian-American international lawyer. Woo-hoo! She scorns and exposes the burning truths of the genocide in Palestine, okay, and what Israel is doing as the conquering force, as the oppressor, okay? And you know what? I can even go in here if I'm quick enough and if I'm good enough, get the link so I can give it to everybody in the chat, which would be there. And wow, you know what? You're going to be, I'm honoring you with something completely different. Okay. This is totally off the wall. And what a good idea it was for me to figure it out. Okay. I'm sitting here going, Luca, listen to her. Okay. I listened to her the first time. Oh, I'm hearing her talk about how people are ignored. Okay. Ethnic cleansing. Not concentration camps. No. We have another one coming up. Severely restricting access. Severely restricting movement. Genocide. I'm going, Luca, you might want to write this down. Okay. So while she's talking, it's amazing what happened. While she's talking, I'm sitting there, I'm going, oh, parallel to the Native Americans. Oh, parallel to the Native Americans. Oh, parallel to Native. Every time she was opening her mouth, talking about ethnic cleansing, talking about not concentration camps in this case. No. Reserves, Indian reservations. Huh? You know, it's unbelievable when you can catch on. Okay. And I'm sorry if I'm sounding a little freaked out here, but she even mentions genocide. Luca did his homework. Remember Article 2, Section E? Forcibly transferring children from the group to another group. Hello? That's what Canada is guilty of. That's what the United States is guilty of. That's what Israel is guilty of. That's why they're not talking about it. That's why every country is going, oh, can't say anything. Oh, no, we're not going to say anything. Of course not. Well, guess what? I was waiting for the day when I would hear a lawyer that had a little balls to, you know, how do women say that? Women, you know, don't have balls. No, no. Well, they do, but they're just further up. Okay. Let's listen to what Lara has to say.
Thanks very much, Sean. One of the messages we are sending out is go big, go small. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small. There are schools in Tower Hamlets where staff have organized cake bakes.
Oh, I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to read you first what she was talking about, because I just told you, okay, ignored brutal colonial violence, okay, for generations, ethnic cleansing by the military for, you know, under occupation. The Indians were under occupation for over 200 years, two or 300, depending on how far back you want to go. I told you about the concentration camps. Think Indian reservations. Severely restricting access in and out of Gaza. Okay. John A. Macdonald invented something called the pass system in Canada, where, you know, an Indian had to have a pass to have a reason to go somewhere and to come back and to leave. That way we could control them. Severely restricting movement inside and outside, also controlling your every movement and your every intent. This is where this is going with this Chinese surveillance stuff coming out. Okay. Amazing. Okay. And then genocide. Okay. And when we come back after the break, I'll let you know what they did. When she's talking about advocating and openly committing genocide. Okay. I have a list just to read to you real quick about what they did to the Indian. And you probably heard me talk about it before. So let's talk about Lara first. Let's see what she had to say.
And cake sales, excited to introduce Lara Alborno, who is a Palestinian activist. Her family are in Gaza. She's a lawyer based in Paris. So she's come from Paris today to be with us. If you're on Instagram, find @GazanGirl, because you will find her there and see how she's using social media to promote our message and promote the cause of the Palestinian people.
And while they're clapping, I'll just tell you how awesome she is. And just think Native American when she's talking, okay? This is the first part of a two-part clip.
The following are reflections on our current state as Palestinians in 2023. The starting point, which is consistently and intentionally ignored by those with power, is that Palestinians, whether they be in Gaza or the rest of historic Palestine and in exile, have experienced brutal colonial violence for generations. It won't be news to you that the majority of people in Gaza today are refugees. Refugees who were expelled from their homes and their land during the Nakba by the Zionists, who began the ethnic cleansing of Palestine 75 years ago. You, of course, know that the people in Gaza have also lived under 56 years of brutal military occupation, enforced by the same entity which made them refugees decades prior. That Gaza was turned into a concentration camp 16 years ago, when Israel imposed its land, air, and sea blockade, cutting Gaza off from the rest of the world and severely restricting movement of anyone or anything into and out of Gaza. And if you're here today, it's because you certainly know that we are 56 days into Israel's genocide of our beloved family and friends in Gaza, a genocide in the legal sense of the term. You know that there are 1 million children in Gaza, children whose torment by a nuclear power, the fourth most powerful military in the world, is at once justified by and invisible to the Western world. Yet we are, in any event, warned by the same institutions which have failed to protect us from Israeli impunity for decades, and the crime of all crimes in this moment, that Gaza is a graveyard for children. Indeed, it is. You know that in this current moment, Israel has been killing Palestinian families in Gaza at record rates, with advanced weapons technology relying on dystopian AI to identify alleged targets. That our toddlers are being pulled from the rubble of our homes, sometimes alive, sometimes not, sometimes in one piece, sometimes not. You know that the Al-Nasser hospital preemies were discovered decomposing in their hospital beds after Israel bombed the oxygen tanks of the hospital, denied it electricity, fired on and shelled the building, and forced the families and staff to evacuate at gunpoint, leaving those completely innocent souls behind. You know that Israel attacked and destroyed in a matter of weeks nearly all of Gaza's healthcare infrastructure, killing hundreds of healthcare workers, bombing the solar panels of Al-Shifa Hospital and its maternity ward, sniping nurses, kidnapping doctors, and leaving behind a trail of destruction and mayhem. You watched the Nakba of 2023 unfold on Salah ad-Din Street, hearing accounts of children being sniped by Israeli snipers positioned on tops of tanks lining the streets as the mass exodus of Palestinian families were forcibly expelled from their homes in the north, and as parents were forced to lay their lifeless children's bodies down on the ground and continue marching as a result of agonizing orders emanating from a faceless army megaphone. You watched Israel announce that we are animals, and that we would be denied food, water, electricity, and aid. And then weeks later, we watched people begin to die of starvation and dehydration. And now we watch as our colonizer openly relishes in the spread of disease in its newspapers while it withholds medicine in perfect but nauseating consistency with the colonizers who preceded it elsewhere in the world. You watched 2 days ago this genocide recommence with intensity all over Gaza after the so-called humanitarian pause ended. While Israel proudly announced today that they've so far hit over 400 targets in the last 2 days. If we are lucky, as Palestinians, people at a minimum know about the reality that our tormentors have forced upon us for the last 70 years.
Okay, see, right there. So now she gets into the, you know, we're just hoping that people know, you know, if we are lucky. And this is what I wanted to say, too, about this. If we're lucky, people might be interested enough to learn the truth about history and what they're hiding from us about Native Americans and our treatment of them. Or maybe about Germany, perhaps. Hello, you know, in World War II. Okay, let me just keep with her, because I had to stop there for that. That was too important, because I made the connections. It's everywhere. It's even in the media when she starts talking about Zionism, etc.
Last 75 years. To borrow from the resignation letter of Craig Mochaber, the former director for the High Commissioner of Human Rights of the United Nations, the European ethno-nationalist settler colonial project in Palestine has entered its final phase towards the expedited destruction of the last remnants of indigenous Palestinian life in Palestine. Mm-hmm. What's more, the governments of the United States, the United Kingdom, and much of Europe are wholly complicit in the horrific assault. Not only are these governments refusing to meet their treaty obligations to ensure respect for the Geneva Conventions, but they are in fact actively arming the assault, providing economic and intelligence support, and giving political and diplomatic cover for Israel's atrocities.
See, this is when everybody shuts up. This, because everybody should know this, and everybody probably does, but the people that don't look, that's why they look the other way. Okay, because they don't want the responsibility. This is what's so cool, and I'm really seeing it big time, especially when it comes up like this. You know, well, it's not happening to us. You know, the violence isn't coming to my front door. You know, so everybody goes, no, that's not happening. You know, no, and they turn away and they don't want to see it, and they're cowards. They are. They're really cowards when you think of it, unless you want to take responsibility for who you are, where you stand, how you feel about certain things. Grab a microphone and start talking like we're doing. Am I cutting her off again? Yeah, well, Luca, let her finish.
That is precisely where we are today.
Yes.
But one of the most dizzying aspects of being a Palestinian in this age is that Western governments and corporate media who adopt policies and promote narratives endorsing our annihilation deny that this is even happening to us. We as Palestinians are categorically denied the right to narrate our own lived experiences, instead dismissed as biased or exaggerating as the bodies pile up, while instead the statements of the military of the apartheid regime are taken as fact, never challenged, and repeated even when proven false.
Exactly.
Worse, the U.S. and Israel, who have seemed to decide our fate for us without our input, casually shop around ethnic cleansing blueprint plans for Gaza, while Israel awards exploration licenses for billions of dollars of Gazan gas.
Oh, yeah. Not only that, but they're bulldozing really quick so they can, you know, sell the land or say, hey, you want beachfront property? Take a look. Yeah, we're cleaning up. This is how you scatter the roaches. How did she say that? The European ethno-nationalist settler colonial project of Palestine. Good grief. I almost can't even say that properly. Huh. Isn't it amazing? So even, okay, the media is doing the same thing to the Native American. Look at what Hollywood did, right? Same thing. They've been racist from the beginning against the Indian. We know that. What I told you about the 1973 Oscars with John Wayne and Clint Eastwood, right? They're setting the Indian up to fail. Exactly the same thing. And they couldn't genocide them fast enough. There are too many of them, right? See, and this time, the people that are in the that are starting to be in the know, they're waking up and they're getting angry and they're going, hey, I may not know very much, but I'm going to put my foot down and I'm going to start screaming here, you know, because this is too much, you know, and it's funny how everything comes out at the right time, but we have a problem, okay? We have a problem, and this is where everybody's going to stop and everybody's just going to go, right? Leo Tolstoy, sounds familiar? You know what he said? In order for the truth to be heard, it must be spoken with love. And I'm like, gulp. In order, okay, how does he say that? No matter how wise and true a spoken word is, it will not be conveyed to someone if it is spoken in anger. Think about that for a minute. You want to change the world? Lock yourself in your house. Huh? They say that for a very good reason, because you're going to get some angry when you find out what's going on. Okay, you start talking angry like that. Well, our beloved Roger Laundrie loves to raise his voice a lot. But, you know, I mean, we know what we're talking about, because anger is destructive. So we have to be very careful in how we talk. And I'm an empath, too. I like to think I am. People can tell me different if they want, but I don't think so. But if I'm angry, it's not going to come across. But if you talk in a loving way, and if you talk like a, it sounds like a superficial person that doesn't really care, and it's just telling him because the news is paying me, and, you know, so there has to be a middle ground somewhere, right? There has to be a middle ground. See, and Rick was an empath. Annie was an empath. They could balance each other out. That's the whole idea. You're very sensitive, either as a man or a woman, and you can, you're lucky enough to have balanced each other out like that. That's a God-given gift if I ever saw one. And you know what? The Cherokee. The Cherokees say if you're angry, wait 28 days. You wait a full cycle. That comes from the grandmothers. That comes from women. That comes from matriarchs. You wait 28 days before you make a decision. Wow. And you don't have the right to argue them, right? I beg your pardon? Did you say anything? Did you breathe? No. Sorry. You know, that's what the Cherokees say. You don't do anything in anger. You wait. And it's a full cycle. 28 days is a very good reason for that. Because, you know, after the second day, you might not be thinking the same way anymore. It's cute. You know? So I had another clip here, didn't I? Yes, I did. You know why? Because before the end of the show, we're going to be doing the music segment, and, actually we're going to celebrate this idiot right here. And I love to say it because I'm going to find words to sing along with him, but I'd like to celebrate the nonsense of this idiot. Okay. If I may, one more time. Dance on the tables and sing with me, okay? Sing with me. This idiot will own nothing, and he'll be happy.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to hear it in your pod. You'll own nothing and be happy.
Wrong.
Ain't got no cash, ain't got no car, but 24 booster shots in your arm. Oh, nothing.
Eat the bugs, Steve.
Be happy.
Eat the bugs, eat the bugs.
You can't even buy shit in the store.
Oh, did he swear? Oh, cut, cut. Did he swear? No, that's the... You know, the brakes go on. Oh, no, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that word, the S-H-I-T word. I'm so sorry. Oh, my gosh. Now I'm going to have to... I'm not going to be able to live that up. Anyway, so, okay, cut. We'll have to edit that out anyway. Anyway, welcome to the music segment, people, where we're going to be a little more relaxed than usual, okay? Because we have something special lined up for you. Okay, so where do we start? Well, okay, Pulse. Okay, the KISS formula, if anybody's ever heard of that, they must have. Keep it straight and simple. It's not keep it simple, stupid. Okay, no, because that's how I learned it, but it's not. It's keep it straight and simple. Okay, and I played the song before, and I'm going to be naughty. I'm going to play it again because I love it so much. And not because it's a new song, but think what funk was. Think what... Okay, Cut the Cake, Average White Band, Tower of Power, think, you know, Stanley Clark. Like when something really meant something, the real funk in the beginning. Wow. Well, this is really it for me because when they came out with this, I don't care who it is, okay, he could be, you know, a child molester. You know, it doesn't matter. It's the music. And when I heard this, I went right back to Earth, Wind, and Fire. There's the band I was thinking of, okay? And this really nails it. If you listen to the core of the song and the drummer and what his responsibility is, it's awesome. And I'm going to play a little bit of it, and I'm going to get naughty.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls. Masterpieces, styling, wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman. I'm too hot.
You try and do that for 4 minutes. Bass drum, snare, bass drum, snare, bass drum, snare. 4 minutes without slowing down or speeding up. That's a man for me. Anyway, we know the song, I think, and the build-up, and the chorus, and this is Tower Power section, by the way. I'm glad I said that. See, another error, another accident. I said Tower Power, and that's what it is. I'm going to go to the end of the song so you can hear the horns. They just go nuts. It's so beautiful to hear. That kind of drumming, okay, it just teaches you like nothing else. It really does. The steadier you are, and the KISS formula, the steadier, the straighter you play, the more the band flourishes around you. You start playing complicated and roll this and cymbal here and this and that, then everybody's kind of getting, you know, because you're throwing everything off balance. But in this case, like the hi-hat, you can hardly hear, and you just bass drum, snare, bass drum, snare. And then you can do all the little intricacies, and people turn their head, and whoa, you know? and you get smiles on. I looked like a guy doing acid the whole night because that's all I had. I had a smile on from the minute I got behind the drums. It, you know, it's like making love to someone when you're playing. Segovia, Andres Segovia, the guitar player, he always used to say, classical guitar player, he always used to say, you hold your guitar close to you. You know, you don't sit there and put it on your knee and get it away from you. No. Bring it close to you. Hug it. You know, learn to breathe with it. Your hands envelope the neck. You know, it's like that's how it should be done. So, you know, it's getting to be that time very quickly. And if I keep babbling on, I'm not going to have enough time for the last song. So, you know what? This last song is dedicated to the memory of Rick and Annie, also flying with him like an eagle. They're both flying together. And if you want, I'll come back after the end of the song if I have time. We'll leave it at that because this is too special a song not to do, and it has to be given to everybody. So very important.
Dry bones rattling, a lonely soul slipped and fell into a deep black hole. I can tell you're lost, I'm here for you. Wildfires burning you down to stone, blind eyes turning from a world so cold. A million miles apart within my reach. It's not like me to worry, but when I see you fading in the dark, I'll leave a light on for you. Through the long nights, I will be right there for you. If you drift too far, following an endless drought to wash away the remnants of all your doubt. I hope that you'll see me looking out. It's not
that's the truth, and I got 30 seconds to tell you that I'm going to leave the light on for every one of you. Anytime that you need help, anytime anybody needs anything from anything I have, it's yours. This is what we're supposed to be for one another, and this is my dedication to Rick Champagne and his memory, and Annie, and to all of you, and to the super producer we have. Thank you, Steve. Okay, and I didn't want to touch anything I was doing so that it would work afterwards when you play your song like you're supposed to. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week. God bless everybody. Be safe, everyone.